I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are happy to tell you that Daniel Golden is sitting behind a microphone here in our studios in Milwaukee to give us a summer reading list. He's done his homework. There are a lot of, I got to tell you that I just do not read, as you can imagine, given the nature of my job. I don't read fiction except on vacation, and so a lake vacation is coming up in a couple weeks, and I'm going to get my pencil and paper ready to write down great fiction, because that's when I read it. But he's got, and there's some wonderful fiction that has come out from some terrific authors. We'll get nonfiction, fiction. He has recommendations of books. He has some events he wants to talk about. He has so many events at his store. He is the owner, of course, of the independent bookstore Boswell Books, which is on Downer Avenue here in Milwaukee. And Daniel just works so, so hard to bring so many authors to town and events going on in schools and libraries all over this city. He is a one man, let's keep books alive and everybody reading and let's talk to authors person, and so important in the book community and in this community. So we're going to be welcoming phone calls during the course of this hour for book recommendations. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We'll have his recommendations on our Facebook page pretty soon. So that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. And Daniel, thank you so much for being with us. Happy summertime.
Thank you. It's a beautiful day today.
It is beautiful. And it is the only time I get a chance to read fiction. I just don't during the course of the year. And what a time it is for fiction. We've got some authors I've read regularly who've done new books.
Oh, absolutely. And especially from this area, we have... we've got Jane Hamilton's new book has been still pretty recent, Excellent Lombards, and Larry Watson, the author of Montana 1948, who has a new book, As Good As Gone. You know, we've got Louise Erdrich in nearby Minnesota. Her book, La Rose, is still pretty new. And there's, you know, there's still even a number of wonderful books coming out in June and July. It does tend to get, especially after Mother's Day and Father's Day are over, it tends to get a little more escapist until August, when they start trying to get ahead of the fall releases. So you start seeing more literary books again in August. And what we found last 4 years ago is that a number of publishers moved pub dates up from September to August to try to get a little ahead of the election cycle, because they're always wondering how they can get, you know, they want to make sure that they can get time because all the book reviews and things often, and the interviews on National Public Radio go away because they need more time for election news.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So for example, I put a few, it's funny, I was like, anything through July 5th, I said, oh, well, that's now, but August, no, that's later, even if it's like July 26th, which I consider an August book. But for example, Jacqueline Woodson, who is very known for her, it's a, she's very known for her young adult novels. She won for her last book the National Book Award for Young People's Literature, the Coretta Scott King Award. She's written her first adult novel in 20 years. It's a very serious book. It's beautiful. It's short. She writes in verse a lot. This is not in verse. It might be free verse. It's called Another Brooklyn. It comes out August 9th. Oh. And it's about a young woman who's... runs into an old friend on a subway, and it harkens back to her childhood in Brooklyn and the three friends around her, all African American, all struggling with different issues, always all trying to make a mark in the world through a dance or acting or something like that. Really beautiful, very interesting, philosophical, political.
Good.
Yeah. So that's that, you know, and then, you know, I was trying to think of, you've been talking about books for you. And
Give me my summer reading list. I followed your suggestions last year and I had a great time.
Oh, you did? Oh,
I did. I'd go kayaking in the morning and then I'd go read the book that Daniel recommended, and it was a good day.
Well, this is an interesting thing because some people, when they're traveling, it's interesting. I was watching people this morning and clearly I thought to myself, oh, these people are going on vacation, because these are big stacks and it's not Saturday stacks. We have a lot of people come in once a week, once a month on Saturdays and stock up. But this was a weekday, and it was, you know, the first, it was beautiful, and school was clearly gone for everyone, and people were coming up. I'm like, oh, you're definitely going away. and so some people... you know, some people bring their books, some people pack on their ebooks and their, you know, so to speak, load them up. Some people prefer paperbacks because they pack better. But I decided, these people had a mix of hardcovers and paperbacks, so I decided they were probably traveling by car. So one book that two of my booksellers really love that's coming out in paperback on July 5th, if you like to travel a little light, is a book called Jade Dragon Mountain. And the reason I recommend it is because it works as a mystery, and it also works as a historical.
Oh.
It is set in China, and in 18th century China, I think, or no, 19th century China. And the reason I thought it might be good for you is because you wouldn't feel you were completely cheating on your commitment to nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because the wonderful thing about historical fiction is most authors, there are exceptions. Most authors do a lot of research.
Right.
And you can kind of get a feeling for what's probably grounded in reality and what's made up.
Yeah, good.
The other book that a lot of folks are reading that I think might be a good book for you is the book that won the Pulitzer, The Sympathizer,
okay,
by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
Oh, yes.
And I pronounce everything wrong, and I apologize in advance for that. But it is about, it's sort of a very different take on the Vietnamese war through Vietnamese themselves, and how that transfers over when they wind up in an American immigrant community. It's it also has a lot of, it's got philosophy. I mean, he's a scholar. It also has a mystery element. He actually won the Edgar Award for Best First Novel. I don't know if anyone would have thought it was a mystery first, but it's got it's a mystery in fact that it's a spy story. So
mm-hmm.
one of the characters, one of the immigrants, is actually a spy for the other side of the Vietnamese War.
Mm.
So those are one. The novel that everybody, you know, we were trying to kind of watch what our customers were buying and what, you know, where we match the New York Times bestseller list and where we don't match. And one book that has clearly become the book of the summer novel-wise is The Girls by Emma Klein. And
okay.
That's always interesting because she's a first novelist and it's hard to make a first novelist break out. It is pretty much the Charles Manson story through the eyes of at the center of which is a 14-year-old teenage girl. And my bookseller, Sharon, read that one, and she, because I forgot to bring the wreck on Jade Dragon Mountain, so how embarrassing for me, but I did bring, I'm positive I wrote down The Girl's Wreck because I thought, well, this is such a good wreck that this would just be completely embarrassing if I didn't have what she had to say about it. But I will say that I have no idea where it is. But it's
you can make it up.
Well, I could make it up.
Right.
If I was a good person about this, I would make it up. Well, I will say, one of the nice things about our website is when I recommend a book, if you look it up on our website, we load every staff rec on the website. It says, like, staff pick, and then you can read not just what the national reviewers say about it, but what we say about it. And
right.
That's pretty cool. And so all the books that I mentioned here are staff recs, and they are they have wonderful quotes already. So
good. All right.
Not just like it's
and
great.
The website is?
It's boswellbooks.com.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What's this
easy.
One? I like the title of this one. I haven't read Emily Griffin. First Comes Love.
Yes. So
who
this is
Griffith.
Griffin. Everybody calls her Griffin. So just saying,
Giffen.
I hear it all the time, but it's a Giffin, yeah. And it's a Giffin that it's a that it's Giffin. Thank you very much.
It is a good Giffin?
So it's a MacGuffin Giffin. Giffin's been around for a while. She's a former lawyer.
Huh.
One of my bookseller, Sharon, said that she's very interested in lawyers who turn fiction writing. You know, Grisham, you know, there's a number
right.
of really
yeah.
Great ones. And she hit the bestseller list pretty immediately and has become very popular. So
huh.
she's a commercial writer and tends to write about family drama. I think her first few books were more comic, and now she's getting into more serious issues, but she still has a sense of humor about them. They're very much about contemporary Atlanta. So you really, you know, and it's so interesting when you read family dynamics, how just, you know, when somebody really knows a place, how little tiny things change about the interactions between people.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's a sister story, which I do love sister stories. And they, about 15 years ago, very wonderful, ideal family, an older brother and two younger sisters, and the brother's in medical school and he's the golden child, and he dies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not giving anything away. That's kind of the setup of the
right,
book.
Right.
And it leads to the parents getting divorced and the sisters making some sort of whatever they didn't get along before, however they didn't get along, they get along less now. There's sort of a wall between them. But more than that, if they make some decisions that may have turned out to be bad decisions, they make, as sometimes happens in grief, they make some quick decisions that turn out in retrospect to have some bad that they have to work through. So I'm enjoying it a lot. I think she's a very good she knows what she's doing. She's a good writer. Like I said, she's it's definitely on the commercial side. She's a huge bestseller. She's coming to Boswell in July, and I always feel like it's really great to read some of the book to know what you're dealing with. So you don't like step on your toes and say it's this kind of book, even though you've read like 20 reviews and it's a different kind of book. And I thought, oh, I'm going to read 50 pages. Well, now I'm on page 260.
Oh my gosh, you're gonna finish this.
Well,
baby.
Yeah. I have the 50 page rule, like a lot of people have, that I feel like if I get to 50 or 10% of the book, if it's longer than 500 pages, that I get to say without any bad repercussions in my emotional life, that I can let the book go. And, you know, and I suggest that to people coming into the bookstore or if they're a library. Nowadays, a lot of websites have, you know, you can download a little part of the book to get a taste of it. And why not do it?
Sure. Right. There's a lot to read. Yeah.
Yeah. I read, it was very funny. I read a wonderful, most of my nonfiction, this is so embarrassing to me. I really try to read some really good, serious nonfiction, but most of my nonfiction, while can be very well reviewed, tends to be have a memoir-esque element to it, such that it almost reads like fiction. Like, this is an embarrassment to Kathleen Dunn. This is not real nonfiction.
Well, I was embarrassed. I don't even know this fiction writer, so okay.
So we have our jobs. We have to do it.
Absolutely.
And then we go on vacation and switch it up. So I read this author. I just loved – I loved music when I was younger, and I read this book called Old Records Never Die by an author named
I saw
Eric
that
Spitznagel.
On here.
It's on the list, and it is a memoir about – but it's a memoir, but it's also about something else, and it's about vinyl music, and this man decides to recreate. He's gotten rid of his record collection, as so many people did, either because they moved a lot or they didn't have a lot of money or they thought, oh, this is ridiculous. I'm going to replace it on CDs.
Yeah.
And now it's all on download. Why do I need this? And I'm going to read, Spark Joy and, one of those books about organizing, and it would say that all those, you know, you have to get rid of all your stuff, and you can have one book and face out on a pedestal. And that's it. That's not me, I should note. I don't get rid of my vinyl. But one of the things he said was that he, when you know, in the old days, before you had a chance to sample music, you know, you might have heard the single, or you might have heard the last album, or you might have read a review, and you buy the album, and sometimes you really love it, and sometimes you hate it. And you have only two choices. You can either put it back on, you know, like put it away, or try to sell it to somebody, because you can't, it wasn't even easy to sell back then, because there weren't as many used stores, or you can listen to it like 30 times until you like it. And that's the way I sometimes feel about, it's like, I'm going to get through this and I'm going to love it. So I have a recommendation on that. I noticed that all my, I was asking around a lot of people I was like, oh, I'm preparing for the Kathleen Dunn Show. I have to ask what other people are liking.
Sure.
And so I got some recommendations. I happened to be in Wauwatosa at Little Red Book because as I had, we haven't really talked about it yet, but we're doing this Find Waldo thing and we have Little Red Book. And I said, so what are you excited about? And actually they said, excellent Lombards and As Good As Gone. So those are not, they second it. Now you've heard two stories
liking it.
But one of the things I was talking to my friend, Nancy at the Schlitz Audubon. And I said, do you want to give me a recommendation? Because she worked with me at Schwartz for many years. And she's like, oh. And of course, she had to think about it. She's like, well, she reads all over the place.
Yes, she does.
And I said, but she's like, well, I want to have a book that sort of ties into what I'm doing. And she actually had the perfect book. It's called Lab Girl. And it's by Hope Jaron. And it's a memoir, but it's also about nature and science.
Mm.
And she's not the only person who really loves the book. The book's gotten wonderful reviews. And one of my former booksellers, Haley, who now lives in Madison, she actually was a lab girl in parts of her life. Now she's at the Wisconsin State Historic Society. But she was a bookseller, too. And she had also roped to me and said how much she liked that book. So I think for that kind of science-y person. You know, if they've already, if they read the Mary Roach in like 5 minutes or something like that, this is another book for them to read.
All right. And what's one? Any title that has dogs in it, of course, captures my fancy. Dog Medicine, Julie Burton. KP said she's coming to Boswell.
She is. She's coming to Boswell. And I think you're going to talk to her, too.
I think we are. Right.
So another Sharon Rack, who she's been reading. She's been having a good run of reading lately. And it is about, it was actually a self-published book originally.
Huh.
And it's interesting how many, you know, we, you know, people used to scoff, but every so often a book just takes off. This was in San Francisco, and the book sold really well online and really well in San Francisco, and a Penguin picked it up. And it is about how a woman works through her depression when she gets, you know, that the dog helps her through her depression.
Mm.
And it's an adopted dog and through a humane society, and just a really, really wonderful story. I had nothing but wonderful things to hear about it from Sharon, and I've been hearing from booksellers around the country who also really liked it a lot.
Dog Medicine, Julie Barton.
Dog Medicine, Julie Barton, yeah.
And she's coming to the store.
Yeah, I think she's coming on Friday, July 22nd at 7 p.m. approximately.
With her dog?
You know she's not traveling with the dog.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Did
really?
You?
No, you got to tell her to change that.
We did. I know.
I know.
I know. Every time we get a possible dog event, I'm like, dog coming? Still coming.
I'll bet you do. Right.
I was like, because I'll let him in. You know, we'll have a dog friend. We are letting dogs in for the event.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh,
so we
Daniel,
don't normally
I love
have,
that.
We don't normally have dogs, but we scheduled our carpet cleaning right afterwards.
Oh, so dogs can come to the
dogs
event.
Dogs can come. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You're so good.
So
we're going to welcome phone calls. Daniel Golden is our guest. We're getting our summer reading list with the Summer Reading List show this hour of the program. He's the owner of Boswell Books on Donner Avenue here in Milwaukee. And here's how you reach us. Either you need a recommendation because you're packing your paperback, so your hardcover and paperback, or your hardcover for your trip this summer, which I hope you'll have a chance to take, or you may have a recommendation too that you would like to give us. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. And we're also going to have recommendations on our web Facebook page, the Kathleen Dunn Show, but it's also a Facebook page that are we can make.
I'm
going to
do it on a blog, and then I'm going to post it on Facebook.
Okay. And your Boswell is
Boswell. BoswellBooks.com is a website.
Website.
BoswellAndBooks.com is a blog.
All right. Thank you.
And they link to each other.
Excellent.
For
good.
People who are confused.
You got it all covered. We'll take phone calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right. Let's go to phone calls. Joan in Milwaukee. Hello. Joan, are you there?
Hi.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay.
Yay.
So are we.
I'm so sorry that you're not on a repeat at night, because then I would have been able to lay there and write this all down.
I'm sorry.
I want to know, if I go in and spend a ton of money in my money at Boswell Books, if I can get a printout of his recommendations, the owner's.
Oh, I have my recommendation. I'll put these on the, like, a blog page. Yeah, anybody could. You can get your friend for no money to print it out if you wanted
right.
to. But, you know, you wouldn't have to spend
that. I don't have the wherewithal to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would suspect even maybe a library would do it for you. You know, especially a library that I do a lot of stuff with.
Oh.
Yeah, you might be see if they might do that for you or something like
Are
that.
Are you looking for something in particular, Joe?
Yeah, come up, ask us for advice.
No, I would like to know, if I go to a library, I just tell them to look up Boswell Books and
right.
see the recommendations.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that'll work.
All right.
All right.
All right, Joan. Jamie is next in Summerfest. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, Hi. You?
Good. A guy I graduated with from in Richmond, Wisconsin, became a veterinarian. Did 2 years in the Peace Corps in Africa and just got his book published, Finch Publishing. It's called All Things Strange and Wonderful. It's really a good read. I think you'd enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And what's it about?
It's about his 2 years that he spent in Malawi, Africa, in the Peace Corps.
Okay.
So kind of the vet stuff that he ran into, And yeah, it's a very good read.
Yeah, excellent. So, I think we actually talked about it on the last show.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
Somebody else brought it up. So yeah, that's great.
That's good. When you talk, thank you very much, Jamie. Our number 800-486-8655. If you want a recommendation, this is the hour to call because Mr. Daniel Golden is your guy. When you talked about this book that kind of took off in San Francisco, what is it that can make a book? I love those stories that somebody writes something and, you know, it's self-published maybe, or it's not a big publisher, but still somehow it makes its way to a lot of people.
There are all kinds of ways. I mean, certainly there are a lot of social networking sites and the various, the review sites on Amazon and other kinds of places like that. Sometimes it gets a little silly, though, because, everybody, you have to go one step beyond because everybody knows that the first 20 reviews are from your friends and everybody loves them. And, this was really the most amazing book ever. And so then you have to go. But really, we sometimes talk about this, that there's like different levels of recommendation. So sometimes I read a lot of books that I like, and at one, I'll be very passive. So I'll write a little rec card maybe, but I won't really hand sell it that much. Or maybe I'll write something up for our website. And then the next level is maybe I'll feature it on my rec shelf. And then the next level might be that I'm actually telling people to read it. The thing is, it really comes back to Malcolm Gladwell. I think that that sometimes some books are stickier than others. And so even though you like a book, it doesn't mean that other people are going to like it. And some books really just hit the right nerve of other people. Mm-hmm. And then some books are so good, and I think there's a combination. Different books have different presences, but, if the book is very emotional and intellectual and timely and, and the characters are good, there's all kinds of, there's some sort of formula, but obviously it's not a perfect formula because publishers are constantly spending $1 million on advances and not really seeing much for it. But we do, we have a very good, I was thinking about my buyer, Jason. He is based on a lot of the callers that we get on the show. I know that there's an interest in speculative fiction, and there's a very good interest in that in the general public. A lot of these but not just like tried and true series and things, books that go outside the mold. There's a book, Ready Player One, by Ernie Cline a number of years ago, or The Martian a few years ago. And so there's something that definitely helps, that has a pop consciousness a bit, that sort of drives things on. Right now, and he's it's funny, like from another Malcolm Gladwell book, if you do this enough, you sort of get a feeling sometimes for what might work a little better. And so his book, he has a pick for this summer called Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. And that book is completely being set up for success. We've had two really great reads. This guy has been doing writing for a long time, but he actually created Wayward Pines, which is a television show on Fox. And that sort of gave him sort of the, something to stand out from the crowd. So, there's a part of it that's a platform. There's another author, Noah Hawley, who had five books and four of them completely bombed, but his new book worked really well, even though they'd really pushed him before, and that was partly also because of his television show. So, that sort of helps people along. But there are books like that come out of nowhere, as you said. And then there are books. One of the things we were talking about, I said, Jason, what's going to be your book of the summer? And he said, and these are not, I'm just going to say, these are not exactly Kathleen Dunn style fiction picks, but like I said, I know your viewers like them. He loves this author, Christopher Buhlmann, who I've touted before. He's a horror writer. His new book is called The Suicide Motor Club, which is about drag racing vampires in the 60s.
Oh my gosh, Daniel, you've got to be kidding me.
No.
Really? That's
no.
What his book is
very
about.
Smartly done. It's his fifth book, and he just can't get discovered. Like, we look at this and go, this is Stephen King, this is Peter Straub, this is Dean Kuntz, like all these really classic writers. He's so creative, he's a fast writer, he understands cinematography, but he won a poetry prize. He's a really good writer. Huh. And he's very, you know, and like someday, you know, this guy's going to break out. But this is not going to be the book that does it, because the profile on the public, you know, unless maybe this show does it, but the profile on the book is so small. Like, it's got a very small print. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a marketing budget. And it just takes a very special kind of book to do, like what Dog Medicine does, which is like build out in spite
right.
of it.
Right.
You know, one trick that a lot of self-published authors have done is they put the books out as ebooks very, very cheaply, like very cheaply, like 99 cents or, you know, and then that gives them the penetration they can do. Sometimes those books wind up being physical books and being $26 later, mm-hmm. you know? So, it's, you know, it's back to that, like giving out a bunch of things to yep. make it work.
Now, I meant to ask you this. Mm-hmm. Last time you were on the show, I write things down, but I write them on so many pieces of paper that sometimes I don't have them anymore. You were talking about the book club that you have at Boswell, where you lead it on mm-hmm. Mondays. And you wrote, I couldn't remember, and I went to the store, and everybody in the store was looking for me. And I don't know, maybe it was one they had talked
was
about.
Well, I feel like I was excited about Turner House, which right. was the African-American family in Detroit, which we've just done incredibly well with.
Have
it's
you?
Been, yeah, and my other bookseller really loves the book, Jane, who is one of 12. You know, she's like, this woman has written about an African-American middle-class family, which we read a lot about Africans from Africa. We read about really
right.
poor Africa, you know, poor black people. But this is like a different world, family dynamics. Just, she just
Maybe
knows
that
her
was
people.
It.
You know, it's about a family fighting over the family home and just, it was a good conversation. The next book we read was a little off the beaten path. It was because I don't like to do hardcovers, because I feel like I'm a bookstore. I'm trying to sell the book, and I love libraries and I know people buy online, but I know that I have my best shot for selling the book in paperback.
Right.
So for this kind of thing, people
right.
will buy the hardcovers from reviews or to get it signed or because it's a first edition and it's beautiful
right.
and the paper stock's better. But for book club, they tend to wait till paperback. So, but we read a hardcover because the author came. It was a book called The Yid that was about the last purge of Stalin before he died.
Oh.
And it's a sort of has a theatrical element. It's a man from a Yiddish theater troupe is basically, they set a truck on him to kill him, and sort of they underestimate his abilities. He's a former soldier. He winds up killing his murderers and comes up with a plot to assassinate Stalin. So we did that, and then the author came and met with us and did the conversation. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a really intense book. It's very violent. There was only one character that everybody liked, an African-American engineer who left Omaha because of the 1919, you know, the riots and things, a lot of racism and things, because he wants to be a communist where everything is idealized, but everybody calls him, at the best, people just call him Paul Robeson because that's the only other black person they know. And at the worst, they are much worse than that. But he's really the only lovable character. Everybody else is a little difficult. So,
yeah.
And we're reading Ann Tyler next, A Spool of Blue Thread.
Okay.
She is, I've read like 16 Ann Tyler novels. They're
two.
All set in Baltimore, and they are quirky families,
right.
and she writes really well about dynamics. And the books all have a little differentness about them, but I stopped reading her. I didn't read the last two, and interestingly enough, they did not do as well. That was not connected to me. I think there was the momentum was sort of gone. And this book's definitely back. It's gotten the best reviews of her last three or four books, shortlisted for the Booker Prize. It's a lot about aging. And we're just, you know, it's so interesting that there's so much more momentum for this book than the last two.
Is it a new one, Vinegar Girl?
Oh, this is for Spool of Blue Thread. And then Vinegar Girl just came out. And this is part of, everybody's doing these little series that are inspired by Shakespeare and Jane Austen. And so this is, Vinegar Girl is her take on Shakespeare, and it is, oh, and I don't even remember, I don't think it's Twelfth Night, but it's I printed the wrong pages.
No.
But it's a little Hogarth Shakespeare series where contemporary writers interpret Shakespeare's plays.
Oh.
And it's a short novel.
Oh.
Just got a really wonderful review in the Journal Sentinel, and also one of my booksellers really liked it as
oh.
well. So, yeah, it's a nice, if you like short books, because, you know, some of my booksellers are like, ooh, I can finish this one fast. Because people get very numbers oriented, and I hear about how many books they've read in a year. Or people ask me how many books I read a week, and I was like, well, I'm going to just read all the short ones then if you're going to be like that.
Our phone number, join our conversation. We're lucky to have Daniel Golden with us. He's the owner of the independent bookstore Boswell Books on Donner Avenue, which is located here in Milwaukee. And he has brought with him a list of fiction and nonfiction recommendations from him and those who work with him and people who work in other stories. He's a generous guy. So there's a wonderful list for your summer reading. And he'll give you a suggestion, too. He is here to do just that. So feel free to give us a ring here. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. The list will be posted in short time on our Facebook page, the Kathleen Dunn Show. Laura from Facebook has a summer recommendation. I don't know if you know this. If you don't, okay. The Story of Edgar Sattell. The novel.
That's a wonderful book. David Robleski. It's set in Wisconsin. It's also a Shakespeare-inspired book. It is not a short Shakespeare-inspired book, but it is. It's Hamlet with dogs. With dogs. With dogs.
Oh, there we go.
I got Hamlet so excited. I know. Bong,
it's fine.
Dogs.
Great. I'm the same thing. All right. Hamlet and dogs, and it sounds really good.
It's okay. A wonderful, wonderful book, and we're all looking forward to his second book, which is not even remotely on our radar.
It's not?
No. It is wonderful when, you know, like somebody, we just got the Jonathan Safran Foer new book has just started showing up in places. It's coming this fall, and that's like 9 years in the making. And, you know, it's
these
things
imagine
can take a long time. Imagine you putting 10 years into a novel and then it just getting okay reviews.
I mean,
we think of the ones like, that work, you know, but you know, so many of these people and first novels, it's very unusual usually they say 10 years from conception to publication.
Wow.
Of a literary traditionally published. We're not talking self-published. We're not talking commercial, but from a conception to getting the agent to, that's first draft. So books can take 5 years to edit sometimes.
Wow.
We just had an author in January where she was literally back and forth with her editor for five years.
Mm.
With multiple editors, unfortunately.
Mm. Jennifer in Fitchburg, hi.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
A-okay, Jennifer. And you?
I am good, but I'm coming to realize that I'm a very pigeonholed reader. Despite wanting to be very open-minded, I am not. I would really like a memoir-type nonfiction about really strong women. I remember reading The Glass Castle years and years ago. That's on my kind of all-time favorite list. I, of course, read Carry On Warrior and Wild and some of those.
Right.
I just really like that.
Oh, I think Lab Girl is a good book for you,
There you go.
I think so. Oh, and there's a wonderful book that's from a Wisconsinite, and it's called Welcome to the something, Ice Cube by Blair Braverman, and it's about a woman from who goes to Norway and then trains sled dogs in Alaska, and she dogs. Just saying. And now she actually lives in Wisconsin.
Oh.
But I think I've heard some really, really good things about that book, and I know they're comparing it a bit to Wild, but it's a very good publisher. It's Echo, really good editor. I feel like you should look for that book.
Yeah. There you go.
I will add that to my list.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Annie in La Crosse. Hi, Annie.
Hi. Say, I was on my way out to New Hampshire for my mother's memorial service. She died last fall in 98, and I needed a book to read, so I picked up The School of Blue Thread at the airport in Madison and just loved it from the first second. And as I was flying home two days ago, flying over Wisconsin, reading about where the mother is found outside and they're talking about they should get rid of the house and they should go and live somewhere else and all the kids are fighting and I am crying my eyes out on the plane about the book and about my mother and I'm going to do it now and I'm so glad that I love Ann Tyler and I haven't read her for a long time and it was just serendipitous that I picked up that book, and I suggest it for anyone. And thank you very much for having this program.
Oh. Thanks, Annie, for calling.
You know, there's just so many wonderful books about dealing with older family and caregiving and things like that. It's so interesting. I mean, it's obviously in people's consciousness right now. There was a memoir that hit the bestseller list in hardcover that both Jane and I really like called Bettyville by George Hodgman.
I loved Bettyville. I have a copy. I was going to give it to there. Some of us who get together every year for the past 30-some years, a group of women, and I was going to bring that book.
You read the book, and you have to give it to somebody else. You have to make somebody read
it.
And
he was a charming interview, too. I love talking to him.
Very dry.
Yes.
Very dry.
Yes.
But very charming. I just read an interesting novel by Kathleen Shine, who's one of my favorite writers, called They May Not Mean To, But They Do. And it is about an older couple and their kids. And I mean older, but in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And the relationships between the two. And what I really liked about the book is it really is from both perspectives. It's from the mother and the daughter.
Oh.
And, very New York novel. But no, not all New York, because Shine moved to Los Angeles, so she has a lot of Los Angeles in it, too.
Mm-hmm. So Annie might like that, do you think?
She might. You know, it's a little more comic. I saw it as the Roz Chast, can we talk about something more pleasant, sort of like a fictional version of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a slightly different relationship with her mom, but I don't know if it's as emotionally, there's something soft and gentle about Tyler, and, it's just very warm, but she's not triacly, not at all, not, she just knows people,
right.
So well. I remember, it's so funny, you talk to Anne Tyler fans and you always know like the first book you read. And so there's a number of authors like this. And I was like, I know, it's Searching for Caleb. And my friend Julie gave it to me in college, a little mass market paperback.
It was a college book.
College book. Mm-hmm. And then I went on and like searched like crazy for like everything else, the whole.
You read it all?
I read it all.
Good.
Yeah.
Annie, thank you so much for your call. Marty in Bennett. Hi, Marty.
Hi, good afternoon. Hi. And Annie, it's nice to know I'm not the only one who ever cries on the radio.
Oh.
Kathleen, here's a book just for you to start your vacation, because you can read it in a long afternoon. It's three short stories by A.S. Byatt, B-Y-A-T-T, called The Matisse Stories. Matisse is in the painter Henri Matisse. The first short story is about a woman in a hair salon. The second is about a young woman and her artist husband. And the third is about the head of the women's studies department at an unnamed university having lunch with a visiting art professor who's been accused of sexually harassing a student.
Mm.
And the stories are luscious. They are luscious in every sense of that word. She describes paintings in the second story that I want to paint this winter. Matisse plays a very tiny little bit in any of the stories in this book, but it's delicious. And you pick it up, start reading, and the next thing you know, you're done.
Do you? I did, but there was a time when everybody, like the whole world, seemed to be reading Possession by A.S. Byatt for about, what was that, 25 years ago? Late 80s?
I don't know.
Late 80s, early 90s. And just the whole world, except for me, because it was so long.
Huh.
And but I do read, I read my Jeffrey Eugenides. I read my, I read some of the really long books, but there was like, it's sometimes they slip by you. We were, one of the things we talk about sometimes is how, like, as a bookseller, you feel obligated to just be right on top of things and read it really fast. And if you don't read it really early, then you don't wind up reading it. And one of the reasons I run that book club is it's my second chance. It's like I get 12 a year where I get to say I missed up, but I'm going to get it now.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I love your description, Marty. Thank you. Thanks for the call. We'll take more in a moment. Daniel Golden is our guest. It is our summer reading recommendations from Daniel. He's the owner of Boswell Bookstore on Downer Avenue here in Milwaukee. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Waldo, you may wonder where Waldo is. Waldo is in the studio right between Daniel and me, and I told Daniel if he wore glasses, round glasses, he would sort of look like Waldo does. At any rate, that's all a setup for this event that's taking place Where's Waldo?
It happens all around the country. So a lot of folks have relatives in other cities that do this too. It's sort of a scavenger hunt based on the kids' books. And we've been doing this, I think it's the fifth year. We've been doing it for 4 years. And I went to the good folks at Candlewick and I said, who else is doing Waldo? Because this is so much fun. Basically, we work with about 25 other stores, all local independents. And, you know, you have to be tricky about who you ask because you want it to be kid friendly. You don't want a restaurant because kids will be climbing over the people dining. You can't have like a movie theater because they're closed during the day when the kids are running around. There's certain, like, you go into some place and you're like, well, there it is, because, you know, it's just like a little tiny. We do a few of those if we really love the store. But the most fun is, you know, when you try to look around and find it. And, of course, sometimes the stores lose it and things like that. So we're working with Milwaukee has it. We're working with Little Red Book. And so there are Waldos hidden in probably from like Shorewood, Whitefish Bay down to Bayview, and then a few in Tosa as well. And then it's also being done by Books & Company in Oconomowoc, does it every year. And then actually I did look it up, and there were several other stores who are running the Where's Waldo program, Find Waldo Local, Northwind Book and Fiber in Spooner, okay. Dragon Wings Bookstore in Waupaca, who seems to do everything, good for them. And then there's a few stores like on the border of the listening area, so in Lake County and north of Chicago, mm-hmm. Read Between the Lines in Woodstock, Bookbin in Northbrook, Bookends and Beginnings in Evanston, and then on the Minnesota border, Red Balloon in St. Paul. Now, a lot of these places, Boswell isn't in a neighborhood with like 25 stores in it, but in some of these neighborhoods, all the stores are really around each other. Whereas we have to make people go further afield because, well, we just didn't feel right sending kids into bars looking for Waldo.
Right.
But it's so the kids, oh my gosh, kids love it. And basically, if you get a little passport, and if you fill out like 10, you get a button and a little coupon. And if you fill out 20, we have the stores give us prizes that we do a prize drawing with in August. But mostly what I really love about it is listening to the families talk about how they get to go to all these really cool stores like Fish Burgers and Little Monsters and Board Game Barrister and Bayshore and Brass Bell, which, has, I think, going to give away a ukulele or some crazy
Ooh.
Thing. I mean, it's crazy.
But
it's just like stores that I like to go to and go out of my way to shop at. And the craziest thing, like our hardware store told me how much he loves the program because, you know, he's just got all these kids running in and out. And I'm like, oh, well, that's probably good, but it's messing everything up. And why would anyone buy, you know, the donut shop? Everybody buys a donut. But what do you buy for a child? And in a hardware store. And he said, oh, no. They'll say, oh, I didn't know you made keys. So it is, you know, it's a really great way to discover kind of quirky stores that sort of get overlooked. One of the reasons we do Tosa is, of course, because of Little Red Book, which is a wonderful independent bookstore. It's just in it, you know, it's got some construction going on now, but you can be a little creative. I was creative. But also my, you know, Soaps and Scents, which I just, you know, I just love the store. Karen, the owner, used to be on Downer Avenue across from us, and I followed her to Mayfair. I'll follow her anywhere. If she tells me she's buried, you know, like she's under Lake Michigan, I'll put on a diving suit and get some soap there.
Oh, Daniel. Chris in Oconomowoc. Hi.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been a huge fan, and I've read them all. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but Steve Hawkinsmith has written Homes on the Range. It's a series of books about these two brothers in the Old West who fancy themselves detectives after reading Sherlock Holmes. And they're incredibly hilarious. They're told in a time of American history that seems kind of interesting to me, and they're a mystery without having to read, you know, Harry Bosch or something like that. Nothing against Harry Bosch or all those two, but so I'm wondering if you had any recommendations that kind of combine comedic characters with real situations, mysteries, or anything of that nature.
There are a number of funny mystery series. I'm trying to think of historicals. There's the A Peculiar Crimes Unit It's a British series that's very funny. There's Dog on it, a funny mystery series of a detective and a dog.
Oh.
I know a lot of historicals and I know a lot of funny, and I'm trying to think of funny historical, and I have to say that I'm stumped for a second, but I'm sure if you were in a story library that they'd come up with 10. You know, if I asked Anne, she'd say, well, why didn't you think of these 7? Or our friends at Crime Spree Magazine that's based here, they know. We're doing an event with them, and we've been working more with them. It's a wonderful magazine based here. And, you know, John and Ruth and Erica and Penny, I could throw this at them, and they'd say, here are the 35 humorous historical series published since 2008. And so we're doing Michael Harvey today, who has a slight sense of humor, but I'd say he's not what you want. He's a wonderful, wonderful literary, gruesome writer. Set in Boston, but it's not, you know, it's not what you want.
Do you have an email address, Chris?
Yeah. Sure.
Chris?
Do I have an email address?
Yeah, I can send you some.
We don't need to do it on the air, but
later.
Ask Kiri. Yeah. We'll get Kiri to get your email address, and then Daniel will send you those suggestions. Is that okay?
Oh, fantastic. I can also check in Oconomowoc. I'll bring the kiddos.
Oh, yeah. Go
look for Waldo.
Look for Waldo. Ask Lisa. Lisa can help you, or any one of the Lisas. There's multiple Lisas there. So.
All right. And hold on. We'll get your email address. Thanks very much for your call. And let's go to Debbie in Laval. Where's that, Debbie?
Laval. It's about 23 miles west of Wisconsin Dells.
Oh, all right. Pretty area.
Whoa. By Reedsburg.
Okay.
Very nice.
And I was wondering if he had any historical fiction he could recommend.
Oh, I do love, I do like the Jennifer Chiaverinis. They're all set around World War, around Civil War. She was writing those quilt novels, and those were fine. But really, these are just, you know, Mrs. Lincoln's Dressmaker is a wonderful book. Her new book's going to be about John Wilkes Booth in the fall.
And oh, really?
She does tons of research on those, and she's a Madison writer. So I think very well of her. I would say... we've been doing, I love Renee Rosen, who has been basically looking at the various historical archetypes of Chicago, from the newspaper Chicago Tribune to the jazz performers to the mob to Marshall Fields. And she's written a number of really nice historical novels based on that. I like Melanie Benjamin, whose new book was actually, it's not too much of a historical, but she did her Aviator's Wife on Charles Lindbergh. Her last book is actually about Truman Capote and the famous falling out he had with the ladies that he did the floor walking for.
Mm.
That's a lot of fun. These are all like classic historicals. There's a lot of research involved in them. And, you know, it's one of those things that you have to decide what area you like. Like I said, Jade Dragon Mountain absolutely works as a historical. There's another book that we like, Girl Waits with Gun. That's been a huge success by Amy Stewart, and it is about the first female deputy sheriff who was in New Jersey, and her sisters, the cop sisters. Definitely a historical I like to say the Old West because she's a deputy sheriff, but New Jersey is west of what? The Hudson?
Thanks for the call. We have about 45 seconds. Dawn, the book club I run at my local library, love The Boys in the Boat. Anything similar?
Oh, goodness. There's been a gajillion knockoffs, especially with the... you know, it's funny. When something really works, people kind of try to analyze why it worked, and then they're like, okay, what about this Olympic team? What about that Olympic team? And those books have not worked. I would say the sense of adventure that you get I had a book, I've had a few books on my list that I've been like, this is for you if you like The Boys in the Boat. And I have to say that I don't feel, and I almost always, especially for Father's Day, I almost always have that book, but I don't have it today. I mean, I would say in terms of fiction, you know, one of the things that we're Wintering by Peter Guy. I love the book.
There you go. Daniel, thank you for being with us. Thank you. And now we're on vacation for a little while. Thanks so much. Daniel Golden is with us. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Daniel, if you want the list in his blog, you go to what, Daniel?
BoswellBooks.com.
BoswellBooks.com.
Okay, we'll find
Thank
it.
You. Thanks so much. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing this show. And thanks to Carrie Salinas for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. I'll be with you again on Tuesday. Have a really good 4th of July. Tuesday, it will be all things political because we're not here on Monday. So Tuesday, Julian Zelizer from Princeton will be with us for a discussion of politics. Have a good weekend.